This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to a wonderful, wonderful station, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, many alias. I am the host of the talk show, Inside the Inner City, that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., other than holidays. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And it's a pleasure again to be your host on a wonderful Friday night. I know most of you are sitting down enjoying a nice meal. Who isn't sitting down enjoying a nice meal? It's driving around, you know, because today is Friday and we try to do our best to really enjoy ourselves these days lately. Today's topic, we're going to talk a little about the recent incidents that are happening in the country, that have been happening in the country for many, many years. It's just that we are getting a rude awakening of the occurrence of the violent nature, that it's in our nature. And I'm talking in all of us, you know. And we need to talk about it and try to see how we can have a good conversation on the matter, you know, because we have to be 50-50, because, you know, we have to take a look at it, analyze it, and then put it together. So we'd have some callers calling this day to comment on the topics that we will come up with today. My guest today is supposed to be Omar Thompson, United Against Crime. He is always late, that just behaving, you know. I know he's on his way, but he should be here shortly. And we were going to have this conversation a few weeks ago concerning matters of violence against children in the country. And he wanted to come back to share that conversation. And he is supposed to be in studios as we speak, but he is not here now. So I will begin the show. And just a reminder, last week Friday, you see we had former Assistant Commissioner of Police, Mr. John Ferguson, in studios. And normally when I talk to you guys on the airwaves, I always say my background when it comes to the policing system, the prison system, and the criminal system. How I was highly involved in it and how I was able to change my mindset and change my life around. And I used that knowledge that I had in that particular world at that particular time to be able to explain it to the general public on why it's a problem and how we can fix it. So I hope you have a wonderful conversation. I'm really waiting on Omar. I hope he gets here shortly. So let me see where we're going to begin. First of all, I'd like to say thanks to my producer, Ali. Role is in studios today, producing in studios today. Okay, let me see where I'm going to start. All right. Just recently, we had an incident that was posted on get relaxed because, see, I used to be very emotional in this type of conversation because I really try my best to be 50-50 and not to take it for one side. You know, I like to be 50-50 on any topic I discuss so that you could have an audience and say, you know, this is someone we can listen to, this is someone we could call, and this is how we need to be as the citizens. Yes. Yeah, so there was a video posted on social media. Social media means all of us who are internet, et cetera, or the news. Recently about a young gentleman who was seen by someone who was recording, allegedly physically assaulting a young lady. I'm only commenting on it. I know it's before the courts, but how are we ever kind of be able to understand and fix the problem if things are before the court, but it's affecting us as a nation, and it's happening every day, and we can't discuss it? We have to use these incidents as an example for us to use this to teach the next young man out there or the next young lady out there on the right choices and decisions they have to make. If you don't use these violent crimes against one another as an example and explain it for those who are listening, explain it for the younger generation in that age bracket so we could break it down to them and understand, hey, what's going to happen to you, you know, if you make this wrong choice, okay, or this wrong decision. Okay, on a short bit, a gentleman was physically assaulting a young lady with a baby. And then you saw where neighbors who was concerning, young persons in that same age bracket who were concerning, came to the aid of the young lady. Could be family members or neighbors or passerby, but most definitely it's either family or neighbors, you know, who reside in the community and saw what's going on and stepped in. And as they stepped in, the lady was on the ground, seems to be partially unconscious. And then we saw where, you know, I couldn't believe it, you know, where a baby was in her hand whilst the physical assault was going on. And it was surprising to me to see that the gentleman who was inflicting the physical abuse didn't stop to think about the young baby, you know. So that right there, was a no-brainer to me. I was trying to figure out what's going on with this young man. So then you saw where the neighbors or the community residents, and that's why also we need a village, you know, in order to protect one another from physical harm. From it could be anyone in your, it could be anyone in your relationship or your boyfriend, but the neighbors and the community are there to be an aid to stop some type of argument that is going on before it gets out of hand. And that's why we need to build the village concept back up again. So some neighbors came to the aid, and as you can see the footage, you could see where one of them, you know, made headway to go run for some balls. So this startled him enough for him to jump in his vehicle, and he pulled off. And then the lady who was physically abused, she was in the street. And then there was this next young lady who was trying to assist her. And I'm very proud of that young man who must have knew something bad was going to happen, who was concerned of the welfare of the child, you know, most importantly. And he should be, you know, we need to hold persons like that to high esteem in the country and just look for them and give them an appreciation of of thanks, you know, for the humanitarian assist they gave to a fellow human being. And he came and he took the baby out the young lady had. And he must have knew something. And then he walked off with the baby in his hand. And then you saw where a young female who was trying to assist the young lady in the streets, and mind you not, this is in the middle of the streets, and this is in broad daylight. And you saw this car come down the road, looked like it was making either 40, 30 miles per hour, probably even 50, and without no swerving off or no hesitation, just continue to press the gas pedal. And the lady was on the ground. The lady was trying to assist her, saw the car coming, so she dived out the way. Some guys on the side of the road threw a few balls at the car, and this probably was able to cause him to steer off just a little bit to the right. Because if he'd continue with the direction of the car, with the velocity and the direction of the car, he would have rolled right over the lady. She was knocked, but she was knocked and then dragged on the side. You can imagine her underneath the car and getting dragged. Wow. And then he hit her and hit a truck on the side of the road, and then his car kind of flipped over, and then that was the end of the video. You know, looking at it, it's not the first time that incident has happened in Nassau, New Providence. You know, it happened a few years back, and it happened before that a few years back, where we had the same incident, not involving the same person, but the same mentality. So even though we have had this same incident just recently happen, there are incidents that if we check the police reports, and if we remember the cases with before the courts, we have had the same incidents with other young men who were before the courts who made similar attempt at taking life, and sometimes they did take life with a vehicle. So what that goes to tell us is that even though this incident is fresh, the mentality of most of our young men in the country is that when they get angry, they lose control, and they make the wrong decision, and then I'm hurting people who they love. And the surprising part about it is anger is a very serious thing, and you have to be very careful. Because like I say, you can make one crucial mistake. And that gentleman who was driving a vehicle, he made more than a few mistakes. And he's going to pay the piper for 5 minutes of anger. Could cost him 50 to lifetime in jail. You know, so think about this. Think about this. Reading the background on both the male and female, there was some information posted on Facebook describing the situation, and it was alleged that the same person had an altercation before, and they were bound with a peace. But love is a serious thing, and love can blind you. And it's what kind of love you're looking for, you know? And it's what kind of love you get in return. You understand? So you have to be very careful. So here's the mistakes that I saw this young man made that could cost him lifetime in jail, or close to 50 years in jail or more. Depends on the circumstances. First mistake was that he was so blind by anger or jealousy that he did violent offenses in front of credible witnesses who are very upset with him. So you have more than one witness who's going to testify on his case. Secondly, he made a next crucial mistake. I don't know if that's his baby. He intended to not only harm the one that he loved, But the child could also have been his child. And he didn't think once about the life of that young baby. Let me, 1 second. Not so much, just called me this now, say it'd be in a few minutes, but anyway, I'll continue the conversation. Let me see where I'm at this now. I couldn't really remember. I might forget because I'd be doing so much change in the community, so please bear with me. The mistakes, yeah. What's the next mistake I said he made? All right, I get it right now. The stances, I just wanted to be able to people know that. I'm telling this from my previous experience, and I'm putting it together, so it's real what I'm speaking. This is real, so this is not something I could write in the book. Most of these stories that I put together based on the situation is actually real-life scenario that I feel happened up to the situation, so this is real. So anyway, he endangered the life of the baby. Most importantly, the most precious thing that a man or woman or the world could have, a young child. What could possess you out of anger that would make you want to not only kill the female or the woman you claim to love, but also the child, the young baby that was in her hand? And then you endanger the lives of the persons who are trying to assist. And for that 1-5 minutes, he made that decision. Now, right then and there, he wanted to kill not only the female, he wanted to kill the young baby. He wanted to run over the young baby. He wanted to kill anyone who he saw in the vicinity. Now, as mad as he was, and in that killing mood he was in, let me ask you a question. Do you think him now sitting down in the Bahamas correctional facility, do you think he has that same type of anger inside of him now? Or he has a spirit of, I messed up. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. Now he's talking to himself. Why is he in Fox Hill Prison? And he has to watch out because there are many guys up there who don't like that kind of stuff when it comes to children, and they have phones up there. So he could get it up there and all. Okay? So now he is in the cell where he didn't have to be in if he just think for a second, you know, regardless of the situation. And then his life is practically finished. It's on camera. There's credible witness. Even if this lady who is in critical condition now in the hospital was the even one drop the charges, there's still enough evidence that the prosecution can and will collect. They could prosecute him based on that alone. So basically, he is like, he's finished. You no more coming outside, no more be able to walk the streets unless he gets bail. And if he loses the case, you know, he's going to be in jail for a little while, probably 6, 7, 8 months. Then probably get bail. Have a year around court or 2 round court. You know, or if there's enough evidence, there's speedy trial where he could go to Supreme Court so the trial gets done in within a year time. And if he's convicted, he could get anywhere from life imprisonment. Do you think it's worth it? For 5 minutes of being angry. You're angry and you wanted to kill, but now you're sitting on in the Bahamas Correctional Center where you have no power. And then when you was in the CID on and the police on, you had no power. So when you're in a cool down now, that temple you wanted to kill, you're regretting it. You're regretting it. But guess what? What you give to the world, you can't take back. All right? And that's on the male side. And many of us males are like that. And the reason why, I have no excuse. I had my trials and tribulations just like these young men. But I was also, I had my ups and downs with female too. You know, I'm not better than them, but I never tried to kill them, you know, or to harm them. Reason why I want to say this on the female side too. Today's female are not like 40, 50 years ago where they are. Housemaid, cooking, cleaning, and, you know, waiting on the husband or the boyfriend to come home and bring the money and et cetera. Our woman now has become so independent that the majority of them, we still have a lot of great women. Now I'm saying woman. I'm not saying girls. We have a lot of girls out there. All right? There are a lot of educated, smart women who are wife material, who are girlfriend material, who are very good women, who you could be with for 20 to 30 years and probably the rest of your life. And that is rare now. This ain't like Lady Penlin and Sir Lyndon Penlin or Sir Randall and his wife, Mrs. Folks, or Marla B. Butler and his wife, you know, and all those great distinguished people who are there married for close to 40, 50 years, you know. I'm close to 59, and some people have been married for 50, 60 years. And I don't understand how they've been able to do that. C.B. Moss and his wife, you know, et cetera. Today's woman, the majority of today's woman, I mean girls, I call them girls, some of them, because I don't think most of them know how to be a woman or what a woman is, just like how the gentlemen today, the boys today, and boys who I'm calling, what I'm referring to is the same one of the same young man who tried to take the life of his baby mom and tried to take the life of the baby mom. I call him a boy, not a man. Okay? So I'm calling them boys and girls because women and men don't make those kind of bad decision. We think before we put ourselves in those situations. So I'm gonna say they're boys and they're girls, and they didn't have the right parenting. And they don't have the right guidance in their lives. And they don't have the community village concept to help them develop life skills. So with our girls, most of them are independent. Most of them are like guys now, okay? Most of our females are like guys. You know, the way they talk, they ain't no love, they ain't having 4 or 5 boyfriends, they say any and anything to the person who care for them. Some of them ain't looking for love, don't care how you try best to treat them the best way you can, to be loyal to them. You know, they still want their way. You can't tell them nothing. They say they ain't cooking, they ain't cleaning, and et cetera. And then with the young man being aggressive, showing his love, that can't work. You have an aggressive woman and you have an aggressive young man. It can't work. It ain't gonna work. And we have this problem now today in our country. It ain't gonna work. We have a lot of aggressive young females out there who say things to their boyfriend, which gets them very, very angry, you know? And the same way we have men who say hurtful things to their spouse, to their wife, and to their girlfriend. And their girlfriend, responds back. And then the man tries to show his manhood, and then he loses it because the woman would always say something back to him and back and forth and love. What is love? I think we got love wrong in the country. Yeah. So I just wanted to say that our females are very aggressive. And our males are very aggressive. We are in big trouble in the country. Okay? We are in big trouble in the country. I also want to comment. Recently, I think it was about a month or two ago, where there was a report about a lady put inside of a cell in Central Police Station, whatever cell it was. and was put in with the mail. Now, I don't know exactly the particulars, but I just want to say this also. You remember when I say our females are taking on the characteristics of a young teenage young man who is violent and etc. Do you know that most of our female now are actually what you call most of our females in inner city communities are hard got broken from men in some cases because they're hard broken from their boyfriend and they decided to become what you call no more man and they just into females. So they become what you call dykes. Okay? And they take on the characteristics of a male on the way they dress. They have pants, jeans pants like a man. They wear the tiger shirt like how Omar's wearing. What kind of shirt is Omar? Polo shirt. And some of them even cut their hair. So you can't distinguish and they hide their breasts. And then their features and masculine change because they take on the characteristics of a man. So their body structure changes and sometimes you barely can know if they are females. So when they said that, I was wondering if this one of the cases because a few times when I was incarcerated or locked up in the station, I saw females who came in the station who were carrying on just like us as males and talking to the police. So I don't know if the police made a mistake. Not in this case. I'm not saying in this case, but where our women, our females have taken on identity of a male, sometimes the officers could get confused because I've even seen officers search females who I know in the community right now who are young girls, but they are dykes or what you call, I'm not discriminating. I'm just like telling the facts, like how the facts are. And they dress like men. Sometimes when they're searching the guys, the police search them. And they don't even admit and say they're a woman. And then only time they admit when there's a woman, when person on the side of them say, hey, that's a female. And then the officer will look at one and know, oh, she's a female. And then they'll try to go call an officer. So this is what happened in our society today. And that's why I say I don't write up a show. I come to talk reality and realness. You know, so probably, I'm not saying it's that lady, but many females take on the appearance of male. And in many cases, these same females are more aggressive than males. You know, they're ready to stab you. They're ready to shoot you. You see a female just got convicted for a murder just last week for killing her boyfriend. You know, so I just wanted to open the show on that and I hope everyone listening, and I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to say. We have a violent society with males, females. Even, you know, so let me get Omar in. Omar, you're on the phone telling everyone you're on. There's the mic. You can use that one there, try the one, and there's your headphone. Omar Thompson, me and Omar, we went to high school together. We would work together with his organization, United Against Crime, which was established to help develop the community and also for him to be a beacon of hope in his particular community that he resides in by giving back, whether it's back to school, breakfast, a little fare, giving out books, and et cetera, and whatever it takes to bring some relief to that part of the community that he resides in. And it's places like him who are playing a very important role on how we can better our communities by seeing the problem in the community and being there in person and can make a difference in the community. So I want to say thank you, Omar Thompson, for making it on Guardian Radio 96.9. Go ahead, Omar.
Hi. Good night, Bahamas. Just wanted to say thanks, first of all, to God and, you know, to my good friend Valentino.
Where?
You know, for, thank you. So being able to invite me, you know, to be able to speak on whatever it is, you know, what affects the society, I do appreciate and humbled that he had see fit to give me a call so we could try and see how we could resolve matters, because most of the things happen in our society is things we went through or saw, and we got first-hand education. Let it be a magistrate's prison. Let it be that's the school of hard knocks. You know, that'd be that's being in the city and watching parents hurt and die, or, you know, people and children going up by themselves. That's, you know, like I say, you know, him and I know each other for many years. We've been through a lot of strife, a lot of pain, a lot of letdowns. I've learned much from him, and I congratulate him for keeping and pushing forward, man, because this ain't easy. It's been many years, you know. You know, him and I, we're getting grays. You know, so when you start seeing the gray, you know, you're saying that, you know, there's a lot of our guys in here. We could count thousands gone. Their friends, their colleagues, COVID, do us bad last year. You know, we're still trying to find a way to live with it now. So we got to be able to appreciate each other and tell a brother you love you, you know? And that's what it is, man. I have love for you, brother. You know what I mean? And I could appreciate you, you know? So we was, you know, usually, you know, for the last couple of weeks, it's been, you know, a couple of the different murders, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are part of my organization, which is, you know, United Against Crime, been in existence for like about 12 years. Helping young fellas, young guys, really young inner city persons, but basically young men, try to see if we could reform or steer them in the right direction, different from the life we live. You know, and you have to actually walk in our shoes to be able to feel what it is we feel and why we do what we do. You know, plenty of persons just get up and want to try this, and then, you know, I was a couple of years back, we was dealing with him. We had dealings and some mentorship from Debbie Bartlett. And, you know, she talked, but when the stuff was called, what is it called, in the street or something? I forget the thing. But she was there when she had guys lifting gas tanks on their back and, you know, doing this natural, serious stuff. And I bring that up to say this, is that younger persons right now, they have like more or less different mentality. It's like they just go and get it. Now, you know, they may have no finish, but they're gonna get it. They run up in the place, they could get it. Now coming back out, what happens?
They have no plan.
You understand?
Just like not cutting you off. What are you saying? They go get it. That means they're gonna get it, but they have no getaway plan. Just like the gentleman I said who knocked down the lady. Now he is in Central Police Station. Then now he is in, even before the court, now he's in prison. What, he did not have no getaway plan, right?
Yes.
He had a plan, but he had a getaway plan.
Yes.
That 5 minutes when you try to get in the bank, like you say, cost you what, 50 or 25 years?
Yes, yes, yes.
So, go ahead. Sorry for interrupting you.
Yeah. I mean, you speaking about the guy, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, some things we did in our past. Now, the experience we have now, we could say we could think. And we do things, you know, most people don't think for fun. But a lot of the young guys don't even have the time to get back, and it's just murder. You know, one time ago with us, it's throwing rock. It might have been a little knife, and you might have been lucky if you had someone up with a little 38 or something, or a 22.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was the guy you had to stay around, but it was strictly just fighting. Then you come back another day, and maybe we could talk about it. Then another day, you fight again. Like you say, you live and you fight another day. But these guys are killing, and there's no comeback from that. Not death. Only God could help that, you know? And one of the reasons we developed the organization called United Against Crime is because we had like-minded persons, like us, who know about the streets, who understand what it was, who was in the world of crime, was in the world of drugs, was in the world of whatever it is to make money. And now we had children growing up. You know, and what do we do with our kids? Because we don't want them to feel that same pain. So we started to make some changes.
Come to you right now, Carlo.
You see? And some of us might be proud of our past, but we don't live in the past.
We live in the future.
Yes, and we live in the present, what it is now. Whatever we're doing now is what it is, you know, because you could have done all kind of stuff in your past. You know, a great man, I said to a great man before, I said, boy, you know, one of these days I'd like to do something awesome and this and that and whatever, you know. He's like, I said, but boy, you know, some things happened in the past. And he said, man, all of us fall short. Mm-hmm. All of us did stuff. Mm-hmm. Everyone had a situation, mm-hmm. but you could be great. Mm-hmm. You could be somebody.
Yes.
You understand? And at the end of the day, I would say this to you, that great man right now is the Prime Minister of the Bahamas. Right now, today, you know, and some folks couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. But it was, you need a person with vision, with humility, with loyalty, with trust, and someone who would be at come to that point to say, listen, I could take some blows. I could take that slap. I could turn that cheek, you know, and still move on. Because, man, plenty of us can't take that. Mm. Scoochie, we can't come there and talk about put no slap on me and then, you know.
Hold up the order right there. Let's take this call. Go ahead, call out. You're on Inside In City.
Hey, what do you say, Scoochie?
Good night, good night. I'm fine.
All is well.
All is good, all is good.
Pick up yourself, Sporty Rod.
What you say, boss?
What you say, Sporty?
Everything's
yeah, I don't like a champion. Why are you so proud of you?
What's happening, Chief?
You right there listening to y'all, man. Hey, Sporty Brand, what's happening, man? Congratulations and stay pushing, man. Hey, Scoochie.
Hey.
Blessings, my brother. Keep doing what you're doing, man.
All right.
That's a great shag.
Who that?
That's Shaggy.
Shaggy.
Yeah.
Yes, bro. Yes, bro. Respect,
the
man.
Great, the great Chipman. He been doing some powerful things in the ghetto, too, man.
Next one. Right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. He been doing next some one, great things, man.
Next
but,
one.
You know, but with places like yourself, we got to keep pushing, man. That's one of the guys to push with, you know?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, he was just on it today.
Stop that.
Him and Carlos Reed and a few others with the International Men's Day.
Yeah?
Yeah. But, you know, so these people are doing some good stuff. We need to do stuff like with him and other folks. We need to do more things for people while they're alive, man.
Yes.
Celebrate people, man.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I we can look forward to that. But Shaggy. Hello, Shaggy.
That's Mr.
Reed, hey, too. So who are there with you, man?
Hey, buddy.
That's Carlos Reed, too. Are you here, Mr. Reed, the bad man?
That's the great Carlos Reed also.
That's Reed too.
Hi. You say Scroogey, you say Smoothie Brown, yeah. You're listening to the show and your guys doing a wonderful job, you know?
That's the great Mighty Man too.
Listen, Mighty. Why you, boy? What's funny, you? Mm. You look sharp. I like all the code suit, man. That's good, man. So Ryan's here for great people. You know, that's great, mama, brother.
That's powerful.
Too. Yes.
That's a powerful car, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're supposed to be heading down to the Virgil, Candlelight Virgil in our Mason edition.
Or the night.
Yeah, for the three guys with died on top of the Fort Hill.
Yeah. Oh, that's.
You know, and that's what's crazy, man. And we've been doing some stuff for the last couple of weeks, just checking folks, yeah. Counseling, talking, you know, and getting out.
That is very important what Spidey and Carlos them is doing. That's
yes.
Very, very important because people need that. That support because they know them personally as persons who be on social media. You know, they know they're being speaking for this even before it happened.
Right.
So they're in their mind. So people really appreciate that. You know, mm-hmm. They really appreciate it. We need that. We see that's more like counseling.
Okay.
You know, that's more like counseling, you know, because people don't have nowhere to turn now. You know, I know a three of those guys,
yes.
Parents and everyone, mm-hmm. You know, so.
Hey, we can let y'all get on with y'all show, man, but we really just wanted, like, you know, just calling. Really congratulate you guys, you know what I mean? You know, we in this fight together. You know, this ain't no Scroogey, this ain't Smoothie Brown. We all in this thing together. And if we can rescue our young people, then we got to be able to show that togetherness, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
So, Scroogey, you keep on doing what you're doing. And Smoothie, you know how we do it.
Mm.
You know, we can keep on biting. We just pulling up on Mason edition right now. You know what I mean?
Okay, brother.
Yes.
All right.
So I'm good. Appreciate your call, boss. Yeah,
they need it.
Yes, sir.
Keep firm, gentlemen.
And to the team, man. Yep. You guys doing a wonderful job and just keep it up. A lot of people are depending on you guys. And deep down in my heart, don't care how the situation is, I'm always happy to see guys who from the streets who are pushing, you know, and helping those who are hurt most in the country, you know, and being there. Because going to these inner-city communities, especially these houses and Mason Additions and the Pine with guns and thingam, it takes courage and nerve, you know, and no fear. And these guys go all about, you know, Mr. Reed and Spidey, them go everywhere where while in crime happens to go and console those who have lost their loved ones. So you guys keep up the good work, and I know you guys are going to do great in Mason Addition tonight. Yes.
Yeah, man. Y'all just hold it down, all right?
Thanks
all right,
very much, thanks, Mr. Reed and Spidey. Spidey, you.
Don't take it easy, brother.
Okay.
Enough respect, brother.
Yes. Yes, Spidey.
What's up, gentlemen?
Y'all enjoy. Yeah. That's something, you know, where Carlos Reed and Spidey them are going right now.
Right.
You know, three of the young men, one of them, Yellow, players in the basketball tournament that I've been doing for so many years.
Yes,
I watch him develop,
you
know, become such a great basketball player. But this is what has happened when you're the community decay. You know, Mason Addition was a very, very, I mean, let me see how Mason Addition was. To me, Mason Addition was different from any other neighborhood in the country because they had a family network of just junkin' persons working together in the community. Everyone's in shock. It's everyone's children who grew up in the community. But when we lose the village concept, especially in that Mason Addition area where the socks and shocks are,
right,
and people got separated from that community spirit. Now, obviously, the young men in that community are fighting against one another, you know, who grew up together, who knew their moms and dads. So we have the courage to get in this again and have that village concept again in our country. You know, before you came on the show, I was talking with the Fark. What do you think that young man was thinking? Okay, let's forget about that one. Just recently in Bimini. It's Bimini?
Yeah, Bimini.
We saw footage.
Right.
Again, this is before the court, but I'm going to talk about it because we need this as an example.
Yeah.
So that anyone of those young guys listening out there who has their gun, who has a problem with somebody, this is what's going to happen when you make the wrong decision with that gun. So think. Okay, here we have y'all. Two men fighting in the road. I saw on the footage where everyone saw on the footage, not me. Everyone who has a phone or who was watching
it. Went viral, yeah.
Yes, went viral, saw it. So we have here a young man, he got punched on.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he can take his losses.
Right.
So you could see the person who punched on didn't have no firearm. Mm-hmm. But the one who get punched on the ground, he had a friend who he sent for the gun. So his friend went for the gun. So before the argument started, we only watched that part, but I know about these things. So before the argument started, he sent his friend to go get the gun. Because we have been in this situation before.
Yeah.
Why is we arguing with somebody? I said, but go get the gun. Or I give you a signal, go get the gun. So why is you still arguing? So that's exactly what happened. So we saw he got up off the ground and he stood up and his friend who came to his aid passed him a handgun.
Mm-hmm.
Richie then turned to a very brave man who said, gone.
Mm.
Gone. So the one who punched on, the one who now has the gun in his hand, he was telling the guy who has the gun in his hand, who he just punched on, to go and shoot him. Well, the guy fired, and I think it looked like grazed him in his head, and they hustled for the gun, then the next shot went off, I think he got hit in his hand, and he started to run, and he gets shoot again, and then the guy who got punched on the ground ran behind him and fired some more shots. And then I saw later on Facebook that he was in critical condition.
Yeah.
Now, do you think this young man, Tink, or his friend who passed him the gun, Tink, on the consequences that they now face? In other words, young man, Tink, because in your 5 minutes or 2 minutes of anger, it's going to cost you your freedom,
yeah,
and it could cost you your life.
Yes.
Now, what we saw on the footage, right? So this is my interpretation. I'm going to let Omar give his part of interpretation. This is what I saw. Two young men fighting. One told his friend to go get a gun. His friend, who's so stupid, ain't looking out for his friend, right? Decided to go get the gun, right? Not thinking the consequences that if he gave his friend his gun, that this gun could take someone's life, and both of them are going to be held responsible.
Yes.
Right? They did not think about that. So he passed his friend a gun. His friend executed by shooting the man two or three times and then intended to kill him. But for fortune for him, he didn't die on the scene. And thank God. And I think he has a guardian angel. And he's a brave man, too. Because if he didn't hesitate and startle that young man with a gun for a little bit, he would have got shooting his head point blank.
Yes.
Because the young man was in an anger mode.
Yes.
See, when a young man is in that kind of anger mode, he don't care who he hurt at that particular instance.
Right.
So in a 5 to 10 to 15 second adrenaline rush, he would even shoot the police. If he had the opportunity to shoot the police, if the police was on the scene.
Yeah.
Because his adrenaline and his bad decision and his adrenaline is going to cause him make bad decision. Okay, so even if the police did come on the scene, why is he shooting on the guy and he saw the police would have shoot at him, and then, I mean, he would shoot at the police, and then the police would have killed him dead in the road. And then meet up on the next topic on why the police had to shoot him until we look at the footage, and then we'd see why the police is being so aggressive now.
Right.
Because so much of our young men are so violent and dangerous, the police has to be aggressive, and that puts me and you, who was law-abiding citizen, going to work in danger, because the police are saying all of us are like, because we have to watch out for young man like that. So what is your interpretation on it?
Well, I mean, more or less the same. I like I say, you know, it's so many things are like so different now. You know, it's, you have crime of passion.
Mm-hmm.
Where it happened, the gun was available and he used it. I can't see us two fellas why they couldn't be the one man. You know, instead of using a gun.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many psychological things involved where we don't use our hands no more for good stuff. Our hands are being used for more phone, internet, other stuff like that. Using materialistic things to educate our minds. In that situation, he used a gun instead of using his hand. You see? So he could use his fist and they could have ducked it out. His cousin or whatever they say this, he could have gone and put a couple of blows in it. But instead it's a gun. When a gun comes, it's a different old level. You see? So now them two on the run, hiding for what? Just a couple of, that's all needed. Maybe 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
To change your whole life. And the good part about it is the guy didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have a chance to redeem yourself and speak your part. But now, while they're on the run, it making it worse and worse, because the police sitting down and saying this guy's got a gun.
And we saw the violent nature of those.
Okay. You know.
So what the police supposed to do? Just say, I just say now, because, you know, many of us say, you know, the police is go overboard by being aggressive. So in this case now, you're looking for these guys who did this violent offense. So if you were police and you saw this, right, with your own eyes, now you have to go and try and track these guys. What is your approach? How should you conduct your beliefs matter? I mean, how are you going to, you know, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you.
Approach with caution or?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, anyone right now, for what they saw on the video thing, definitely they can approach with caution, because, like, fella running and you still shooting at the fella running around the truck, you still shooting at him. But I know it was partial at the time. But the police now sitting down and they coming with guns, that fella. Mm-hmm. If they hear he's the host, they coming to see they coming the guns. And they could look for two of them because one passed to the other one. You see? But it go right back to now, you know, Scoochie, it's really and truly how you grew up too, you know.
Yes.
You know, it is how parents deciding to assist in the growth of their child. And it's just not parents, it's teachers also. Because the teachers sit down there for what?
8 hours.
8 hours out of the day. And they play a pivotal role.
Very pivotal role. They are actually parents and all.
Okay.
Because some teachers spend their salary, some of their salary on kids who they know don't have the proper utensils for school.
So we go right back to the thing where it takes a village to grow a child.
Yes.
You know, and we got to get back to that.
Yes.
We have lost that. I remember the days as me growing up and I worked in the hotel industry, and it was the tourists, they marveled on the fact of our courtesy of our kindness, you know, of artists going the extra mile to make them feel special. Now, it might have bring an extra dollar to our pocket, but it would, the Bahamas.
Represented.
Yes, that would be what bent on.
Hospitality, sun, care, and sun, love.
Sea,
cleanliness.
Just what I'm saying.
We threw all that away.
And when that went off, the same thing went to our neighbors. We become separate from our neighbors because now someone thiefing a neighbor tank, we ain't have nothing to say. The neighbors them rowing, we ain't getting involved. The neighbor child over there, little girl, she come up with a little skimpy, little string or whatever.
Go to mother.
We ain't saying nothing.
Go to mother. You can't even do that no more. Prime example, not cutting you off. Little Bella, may God rest her soul in peace. She ran across the road to her neighbor, and her neighbor assisted her. And the neighbor said something where you said she could do more. You just like how you said that when you say someone would be stealing someone's gas tank, and we looked at the window and we the neighbors and we wouldn't even say nothing. You know why? Because that's how I don't like him, right? But we don't know. He's coming back to steal something from us.
Just time.
Just time. Because now you gave him clearance. He doesn't see there's weakness here. Okay? He probably feels someone see him, you know. He see the curtain notch, but the person didn't call the police or let the neighbor know. Because he know Omar and Scoochie don't like one another. You see, he know this. Because he stayed right down the road. He know all this. So this give him an opportunity because we let him in.
Right.
We let him in, and we got to stop letting people in our communities who come to do damage. And like you said, we have to build a village again. Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, so we got to get back to that. I tell you something. I always make this statement, a small little scenario. When I was much younger, I just see the older guys sit down around the block, see the old guys, they old, you know, they got their shirt bus open, they call them old G's. They got a little chain on and a big cigar in their mouth. They sitting down having a good old time drinking maybe. It was Rat Bat around the time or whatever it was.
Yeah, Rat Bat.
A couple of them. And they just having this big laugh. Yeah, you walking past, you maybe 10, 11, like, these bunch of old guys. I'm sitting down there laughing all day and ain't doing nothing, you know? But
they all having fun?
They found happiness. Themselves, and they're in a peace.
Yes, and they were peaceful.
And that was their joy. They took care of their families. They did their part.
And they are friends.
And
they've been friends from childhood.
And they could laugh because of experience. That cigar in their mouth, sitting down and saying, and guess what? I can tell you this. One or two even didn't like the cigar. They have it in their mouth.
Yeah, and they didn't even like.
But it's just that they get to that level where they were comfortable, where at the level where I am,
I have accomplished my goal.
It wasn't a bunch of stuff at the time, you know. It was being able to take care of your family, take care of maybe your neighbor's family.
Yes.
And in the evening. Around about 7:30 to about 8:30, you didn't tell the wife, listen, I could chill out with them boys and be going to two. I could be right up the road, you know? And you did that and you went back home. What I'm getting at is they had a comfort level. Scoochie in the Bahamas. And we as people have to come back to the level to be able to understand that one day, if God see it, we have to get to those ages. So what are we teaching our boys? Do you want to be old? Do you want to get to age where you're comfortable? Or do you want to die at 20? When you don't chastise your son or your daughter and let them understand that the wages of sin is debt, but the gift of God is eternal life, what you're doing is you're instilling stuff in them to, first of all, to fear God, right? That's foremost. Second of all, to respect your elders, your mother and your father.
And love children.
All right? And at the end of the day, once you start with those biblical facts, you can start moving to some other things. Because right now, there's so many mothers who are trying to be friends and fathers trying to be friends with their kids. Listen, you cannot be
friends with your kids.
A friend and a mother or father with your kid.
No.
There is a limit. Because their friend, they could say what they want to say to their friend. You understand? They could do what they want to do to their friend. But you don't do what you want to do to your mother, your father, your elders. What happened one time ago with us? You go there, do something wrong, the neighbor tell you something, and they go to your mother. And you reach home, you get another beating.
Yes.
You go tell them, I mean, well, so-and-so beat me, you get another slap.
Yes.
And it's discipline.
Yes.
The teachers can't do that no more in school because someone coming to fight somebody. We have to get back to that stuff. At least get close to it where we could try and at least see if we could even at school, a neighbor's child. You be standing up sometime, a child walk past and like, they like, walk, like you've been in there. The guys we mentor right now, but they could be a good morning. We ain't gonna start that as a good morning.
That's what they do.
It could be a good afternoon.
Yes, that's what happened.
We have a landscaping company. We put them on the job. First time coming in, you take them and listen, man, go down and pick up the papers. Now, I chat the guys. You got five of them picking up papers. I can see that one where they ain't going to do it. I ain't coming to pick up no papers, boss. You know, I come here because I kind of make a couple of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I look at them and watch it. Now, the end of the day is more than a couple of dollars. It's cool in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow was one of my persons, too. Mm-hmm. He was there a couple of years ago, 15 or so around there. You know, God bless his soul. He's passed. But at the end of the day, Scoochie, the reality of it is, I don't find myself sitting in any funny areas no more. I don't find myself going in places.
And there's going to be problems. Reaching there's going to be problems.
Where it might be problems. You understand? I don't find myself hanging out
in the wrong company.
And stuff with my, listen, I talking, but literally I've been through it. I mean, people are young. They're young and they take chances. But as men and as mature men as we have become, it is now time for them to either try to listen. My mom told me some stuff. You know, she's a pastor, Pastor Lauren Russell, a very beautiful lady, smart and intelligent. She said some stuff. And sometimes the stuff you say, you don't answer right away. You know, he like, man, I was younger then, like, man, you know, I ain't saying nothing back because he's slapping my mouth. So you 15 or whatever time, whatever age, and you're thinking you're man then, but you don't back talk your mother.
No, sir.
You don't back talk your elders.
No, sir.
But what you would find is in time, what she's saying was right because of her experience.
Yes.
We have to get back at that point where we're not scared to say things to these children.
Yes.
Because they can still listen.
Yes.
They could still remember. I still could remember things what she said. You know? One time she told me, look here, boy, don't go to that party. I think I just graduated school. She's 17, 18. Try stay in the house. You know, I think a nice man. I mommy man, you know, everything cool, you know, but I smart now, you know, I gotta go to the party, you know. I goes down to the party, couple of my boys, everyone nice, everyone get nice up, you know? And everyone drinking, everyone get a little nice. Fight break out. I get my head knock off. I get back up, knock off again. You know, I come. Looking for my boys, Ron. They break up. Right? I was a little short fellow, you know. I had a boat jumping in the bush and all kind of things, you know. And
what happened when you go on? What did your lady tell you?
Listen, let me tell you what happened.
Go and tell the whole story.
The reality of it is, it happened and I get all my eyes swell up and everything. So I get back maybe and could have sneak home, get in the door and
try to clean up.
Try to clean up because I done wrong for going, you know, and she didn't tell me what she tell me. Let me say this to you. A couple of days later, you know, she just checking you. She ain't saying that.
No,
you got to be careful when women are silent.
Yeah, she knows.
But she was there.
Yeah.
Scoochie, she watched the whole thing. I say she had to. You know,
take it in.
Listen, and
say you gotta feel.
I say I take the blows.
She say you gotta feel.
I say I get kicked down. I say I run in and get to jump in the bush and they throw a rock at me. I say she says she was in the car, right? And I don't know if she know and see everything.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, she saw what happened.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
But I was allowed to go through the process to be able to understand what it was. You know, but
she know the dangers.
She was a part of life one time ago. Yeah. And I could appreciate that. I could appreciate her for that. Because at the end of the day, It was she guide me, but with pain, I learned. Most of the young persons don't want to feel pain. They want everything happen. They want to be able to Google something and want to find out what is the word for transfer. Then they put in trans and they say, are you trying to say fur? Or are you trying to say translate? And it's making our children a little slow. You know? Making them privy to these phones and the computer. But their mind ain't developing. They fast to run in, but don't know how to get out.
And the evidence is there. A young man who made that big, big decision,
mm-hmm.
who knocked on a young lady who tried to kill a baby, that's the stuff you're talking about now.
Yes, yes.
See, the gentleman in Bimini, same thing again.
Yes, yes.
You see, we need leadership.
Yes.
In the community. And let me ask you this. Besides that, just say we develop the community and we have the community centers, we have the church involved, we have community leaders around the community, we have an opportunity to create something great in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And just say we have no more excuses.
Right.
So what I'm saying is we have no more excuses. So we have a community, we have everything set up. And then someone decides to do a heinous crime. But there's no excuse for you to do a heinous crime because you had all the tools in the community.
Right.
Right? So my take is this. We know that our young men and our young ladies, they are very violent in the country. And they're going to make bad decision choices, most of them. Some are going to make good choices. Some are going to make bad choices. But the bad choices that they are making are big, big bad choices because it affects all of us.
Right.
So I'm saying this to say this. We look at the shooting in Bimini where a temple life was made and then we had his friend who gave him the gun. In my opinion, I'm just saying this, I don't wish to see no one go to jail. I don't wish to see no one get hanged. I just want to poison the blood. But it seems to me that as we look at the serious crimes that happen in the country, I'm not an advocate for hanging. But it seems to me that if someone can do that to a man, may Tennessee try to kill him in broad daylight, has no respect for himself, has no respect for law and order. The same goes for the gentleman who tried to knock down a young lady and a baby. Tried to take the baby life and try to take the woman life, who has no respect for law and order and no respect for his community and out of the country. I understand the situation of the background, you know, might have come from a broken home. Yes, I understand all of that, you know. But here's the question. Why is it that everyone has so much disregard to do things in broad daylight and like there's no punishment for it?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying to you is this. Certain crimes, we're going to separate from the voice of the voice. And I'm not an advocate for no one to get hanged. I'm not an advocate for no one to even be in prison. But those things are in place for a reason. Some of these matters, I think the government's going to have to look at the pop one or two of these niggas next. Even females and all. Because we have females who murdered a man and convicted also. So we just can't say we're going to hang and just going to hang the males. Because we have females out there worse than some of the males who's caused the problem. But are always overshadowed because he's a male. But if you look at the reports, if you look at the murder cases that's been going in this country in the last few years, you would see a woman has taken a lead in criminal offenses in the country. So we just can't look at hanging the males. We got to also look at hanging the females also, because it's evident now in our country. So I'm not an advocate for hanging, but listen to me. We have the set example. It's not going to change nothing, because in 1992, my friend David Mitchell got hanged. Me and him used to hang together. He's living in Mason Addition, and he got hanged for killing the two Australian tourists that he alleged killed when he just left here from Nassau, New Providence. And that didn't change us. Because we had that mentality where we were gangsters, we were drug dealers, so we were against the system, and the system were against us. So it was a war. We had a war. It's always a war. People don't understand. We were warring against the system. So I was living a life where I didn't care about the community aspect. I care what I dealing with, what my boys them dealing with, what we dealing with. We were at war with the police and the authorities. So what I'm saying now is this. Do you think, for the voice of the voice, to me, okay? That's the voice of the voice for me. Someone knocking on a woman and killing a child, that's the voice for me. Someone killing a grandmother, it's the voice for me. Someone raping somebody and killing them, that's the voice for me. Someone taking a gun, intentionally going and kill somebody in broad daylight, in front of people, in cameras, that alone should be enough to take away your life, because you don't give a crap about no one's life. Now, I live this life, but I never lived this type of life. I was the person you bought of me, I got bought of you. You shoot at me, I can shoot at you. I ain't care who you is, but that's how it is. But I'm not going to rape nobody. I'm not going to kill nobody who ain't do me nothing. And I'm not going to go and break into one house and rape no one's daughter. I was a no-no type nonsense guy when it comes to those things. And anyone knew me when I was in the gang and leading the gang, you try them stuff around me, you would have gone missing. Because I ain't putting up with that kind of stuff. Yes, it's a problem. If a ma shoot at Scoochie, be warring. But I'm never going to rob nobody. I'm never going to rape nobody. I'm never going to intentionally go out there and kill somebody for no particular reason, because someone put a couple of dollars in my hand for me to get rid of Omar, because on Omar ain't do me nothing. I take this money and I go and I take Omar's life. I mess up Omar's life because Omar's children we had to go take care of. He could, one of his children could be the next prime minister of the country, but I take away an innocent life. I think it's time we said to ourselves, what is the voice of the voice? Like I said, I'm not for the death penalty. The reason why I'm not for the death penalty is this reason why. We crucified Jesus Christ, and he was innocent. Mm-hmm. We crucified John the Baptist, and he was innocent. Right? But also, even though they were innocent, a lot of people who were guilty also died. So that's why they say the innocent shall suffer for the guilty. And mind you, some persons who might get convicted of murder might not be the culprit. So there might be some innocent life lost. But we need to set an example. What's the voice of the voice? Mm-hmm. We have to protect our children. Anyone rape any children? Mm-hmm. Anyone rape any child? Any man or any woman rape any child or baby? I think that's the voice of the voice. I think you forfeit. I think you forfeit your life on this earth.
Definitely.
I think if you go and you rape somebody in their house, you and your friends, and you all kill them in home invasion, you forfeit your life. The state has to deal with it. It's not on our conscience. I think if you intentionally, drive this car, see this young baby in the road, you press gas, you could have gone home the first time, you turn around and you come back and you try to take the life of that woman, the neighbors, and that baby. That's the waste of the waste. And that's the only thing I'm going to say. If we ever hang, make it a public holiday, go on the Fort Finn Castle, and you say, Valentino Brown, right? Even though we don't believe in hanging, but we have to set example and let our citizens know that Valentino Brown ran into this house, Emily's friends, they raped grandmother's daughter, they killed grandmother, they had no remorse, they could have walked away, they could have gone and just take the money, but they decided to rape and kill, eh? We tell it to the nation. We make it a public holiday. We let the students know why they're getting hanging, why Valentino Brown is getting hanged. We show them why. We don't want to do it, but this has happened to anyone in our country who violates children, who violates raping, whether it's man or woman, who do things that are hideous, unhuman, And that's all I have to say about that. And make it a public event. Hold on the fort. Make it a public event. Stop all the jobs. Bring all the preschool. Bring the junior high. Because they're the ones who commit the crimes. Because remember now, we were in primary school. We were in junior school. Eh? And then senior. So someone, on all who commit these murders, all of them been to school, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone who committed murder been to school. All of them who committed murders and getting involved in crime, all of them been to school. So if we set an example like that, and this is why, and this will happen to anyone in our country who wasted a voice. That's all I have to say. Now you can take the end. That's all I have to say. I'm not for death penalty, but certain things, wicked don't like wicked. And some of these things, what people do in this country, that ain't supposed to be happening in this country, not even in the world. Because no human being should be thinking like that, not with that baby in their hand. No. You ain't human. Sorry. Go ahead, bro.
I feel you, Mr. Gucci, you know, and when I see you getting really emotional with that, I do share your sentiments with that, with certain areas. Life is very, very, very funny and it's challenging. I think we need a lot of psychological help in our system. I think our laws need to be updated. The laws need to be updated. Reason being that, you know, most of the guys in the system now knows the law, so they know how to maneuver. I think there has to be different levels of penalties for different crimes. Persons who premeditate things, pedophilias, and playing around infants and stuff. You know, we have to get to that level to don't have them sitting down in a majesty's prison and enjoying the air condition and whatever.
They forfeit their life, man.
You know, I am at that point, at that situation where I could agree that certain things would merit the death penalty. But certain things,
life prison, 25 years.
Create eunuchs, man. You chop it off.
Yes.
Let's start with that. Whatever you use for pleasure, we deal with that part of it.
Because you was using it right then and there, right?
You see? So I think also that we need to look at some different areas in the prison system to be able to re-inject some stuff back in society. What I mean by that is someone doing a 20-year penalty for some armed robbery, rape, or whatever it be. You're sitting in prison. What are you doing? You know, let's build the blocks. Let's get the wood. Let's make some things happen.
You get a second chance.
And at the same time,
you could rehabilitate.
You get a salary.
You're rehabilitating.
Yes.
You
pick up a salary. That'll be $50 a week. In the $50 a week, $10 going to you, $20 going to the person you hurt.
Yes.
Another couple of dollars going to society. We have to let some persons be able to understand. We're going back to what it is to call it hard labor one time ago. But if you're just sitting there, let's get back to agriculture. You know, let's get back to building. Let these guys think about something, what they're going to do when they get out of here, when they get out of that jail. But also, remember, they're leaving children behind.
And yes, that could be the next criminal. So we have to make sure that their children who we're sending to jail also has a better future.
So if at the end of the day their child been taken care of, they wouldn't be thinking, but my daddy was a robber, so I ought to be a robber.
Makes sense.
You see?
Yes.
So if we could start to try and change the mentality of the system,
yes,
then we could help the persons maybe involved. Now, some persons,
they forfeit their life because we're not into that. Those people who harm children intentionally, those who rape and kill on any home invasion or anything like that, that is a priority. Mm. We have to deal with that. We have to give stiffer penalties. You could just say it's lifetime or death penalty, et cetera. You know, let's take this last call and then we let you finish the show. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, good night, gents.
Good night, sir.
Good night.
I hope I missed most of the show tonight because I was kind of busy, but I hope you hadn't spoken to the point I'd like to make. I listen to a conversation in the country or an incident that happened recently, and I hope that I don't spark the police going in and doing a lot of shooting out there like about guns, like we always talk about. But here's my point. I think this conversation is so uneven, in my opinion. Everybody's jumping down on the gun, and I don't condone that. And everything you guys are speaking to, I agree with. And you know, my brother, you're a pioneer and trying to speak to try to solve, I mean, well, criminals, you know, to try to keep them on the street. But here's my deal. I think we got this wrong. We know we got a lot of fast hand young men in this country. This incident that I understand had basically started from someone hitting someone with their fist or whatever. We ain't looking at that. That's where it started. Probably there wouldn't have been a murder if someone's hand wasn't fast. We have this thing wrong. We need to stop these. We need to speak to these fast hand young men in this country who like to go around slapping people, beating women. You remember we just spoke about all these women have been beaten. Men who abusing women, and then they abuse people so much they get abused to being abusive, and they know these. Hey, brother, you've been on the street. You know some of our men. Our brother's hand fast.
Yes, me saying that.
They grab your chin.
Me saying that.
Grab your purse.
Like he said,
grab your wallet.
Omar said it.
It's your hand. To me, it ain't the gun. We need to get the hand. Your brothers have a good evening.
Thank you very much. But Omar, we were stating the same issue you were talking about, Carlo. We wasn't necessarily talking about the gun. We was talking about the attitude and the mindset of the individual. You know, when it comes to rape and et cetera, you know, it's the hands is exactly because, you know, we, the young man, I'm looking for an opportunity. Omar said that, you know, they would like to go get, but they ain't have no exit. So that's what he's talking about when he's talking about their hands. You know, they won't go rob, they won't steal, take people's chin, breaking people's houses, and et cetera. And this is what causes the problem today is because we have lost the village concept of growing up young men and young females to make proper decision. What's right and what's wrong? Tell me something. Who is teaching people what's right and what's wrong in this country today? Let me ask you a question. Tell me what's right and what's wrong in the country today. If someone could tell me what is right, do we teach what is right and what's wrong in the country? Because definitely we've seen this case before the court, and we have to come to our own assumption that the gentleman was wrong for knocking down the lady. But who's teaching right and what's wrong in the country? Who's teaching the next generation what is right and what is wrong in the country? Who's teaching you not to steal, not to harm nobody, not to break no one else, not to rape nobody, you know? Who's teaching them these things?
Yeah.
Who's teaching them?
Right.
Ask yourself the question. Who's teaching them what is principle, what is values, what it is to be a male and what it is to be a female, what it is to be a father and what it is to be a mother? Who's teaching them how to be a husband and wife? Huh? Who's teaching them what it takes to be a husband and wife? You know? You said it earlier. You said, no, the children is not your friend. And you said it, Omar.
Yeah.
You know? Who's teaching? You know? We just take on an identity that has been going on a long time in the community, and we came out of that world.
Yeah.
You know? We know we get guys out there who are very abusive. But don't blame it all on the guys, because we get a lot of women or girls out there who are very abusive on the way that they talk to men, and yet men are dictated just as the same way we have a lot of guys who are verbal abusive to female. And that's what causes the problem. And when anger gets in, the female is aggressive and the male is aggressive. Omar, isn't this true?
You're right.
Isn't this true, Omar? How much time we see this going on in our community where boyfriend and girlfriend are rowing and they're fighting, the next minute you see, next hour you see them together. Right. Next 2 days, they're right back again fighting and trying to kill one another.
Right.
Ain't making no type of sense whatsoever.
Right.
And they're fighting in front of their children. And their children is picking up that same violent intent. And what you think is going to happen as they grow? Huh?
That's correct. We have to get. Like I did share, and I think I thought about this for a couple of years. There is a real court for psychology in the Bahamas in itself to deal with to assist crime, because like you said just now, if you seen your mommy being abused, in an abusive relationship with your father.
So it's okay?
Most likely that can happen with him. They could do that. They could do the same thing to females. And they don't see nothing wrong. So now it becomes something mental
it's
going
mental.
On.
It's mental. It's learning. That's learning. I learned that.
You see? So end of the day, we have to be able to get to that point where we could find out, like the program what you do, the basketball, these stuff should be endorsed. You know? Programs with Mr. Reed do, programs with Cheyenne do, Mighty, you know, different persons do. You have to be, listen, I have learned. I talk sometimes, but I listen plenty, you know? And experience is one of the best teachers. I have been around some of the most powerful persons in the Bahamas, some of the most richest persons in the Bahamas.
You're smiling over there.
You see?
He's so, smiling at you. Look at you smile, man. Yeah.
You know? And at the end of the day, the reality it is, you have to know when to take in and what to take in.
Yes.
Because sometimes I've been around persons, you know, the age is way above mine. They talk a little slower, but they're making a point.
Yes.
Now, you have to have that patience enough to learn what they're saying. We have to get back to that point where we love our country.
Yes.
And we have to get anyone here involved, let it come in from Puerto Rico, Haiti, Jamaica. I admire the United States, you know why? People find it a privilege to be a United States citizen because they pride in being an American.
Yes.
We have to get back to that point to understand that when you come to the Bahamas and you want to be a part of our society,
it's a
you want to be a part of being a Bahamian, let it be in, that you come in to you get an immigration status or whatever, you respect our land. But we have to respect our land.
And respect ourselves.
My businesses, what I have, restaurants, whatever, I tell every person in there, as you move around, pick up some stuff. She's the person who's doing the cleaning, but you're also a part of it. Cleanliness starts with us, and cleanliness of our mind also. So we have to get to that level, Valentina, where we're trying to clean up our society, clean up our minds, but we have to start with us. Take care of our house. Get back again to making a call, instead of calling the police, to be able to speak to the neighbor.
Why don't you go step up and be the bigger person and not fail? Because your voice can make a difference in saving a life. That lady, that grandmother who talked to Bella and fed Bella until her mother came, and you could see in her eyes, she said, oh, I just wish I could do more, because that could have been her granddaughter. And it is her granddaughter, because what we have to understand, we don't know 2,000 years, 3,000 ago, who is your family descendant?
Yes.
But through separation, we don't know who was family. But all of us are family and all of us are connected, because we start off with a small Bahamas. Then we expand. So if you look at it, you don't know who is your family. So in other words, I'm saying we are a tree. Even you might not know somebody, but something happens to them serious, like a little Bella. Why do you think it reached and hurt our hearts? Because deep down inside, she is a part of us. And that grandmother who said that on TV that she wished she could do more, you know, she is referring to the fact that she might have should have called the police or called child welfare. But true fear of that gentleman who was Bella's stepfather, and she probably thought he was a bad guy based on what she was seeing by the violent encounters they were having, that she was witnessing as a neighbor. And that put her in a state where she kept to herself. And many of us today are keeping to ourselves because of fear. And because of that, we become separated. So the day is going to be my time and someone comes steal my gas tank. And Valentino look through the window. And I ain't called the police or I ain't called my neighbor to let them know someone is taking a gas tank. Next year, when I go to work, ain't nothing going to be in my house. Okay? Because my neighbor could do the same thing because they suspect that I was home and you know someone killed my gas tank. But because me and you mad, I know you ain't wanting to call me or call the police. So I got a lamb going in your house, breaking your house and steal your stuff. And that's what we become as a society. You know, that's what we become as a society. Ali, we have 4 more minutes, so we're going to take this last call, and I'm going to let Omar Thompson have the last word. So, caller, you only have about a minute, so please make it quick as possible, please. Go ahead.
I can say it in 30 seconds, Mr. Valentino and Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Thompson.
I tell you, I can say it in 30
yes,
seconds.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's a very good question. But the thing basically is, Bahamians do not understand law. They have no knowledge of constitutional law, particularly the average Bahamian, or statute law. This is a major problem in the Bahamas. Yes, we have to educate our people. And then, what is the protection you have when you call the police? My number is supposed to be private. But if I were to call the police on this line, they could see my number.
I get
now,
your
you're
point.
You're not able to see it.
I get your point.
But the thing is, people are fearful because you don't know who you're talking on the other side. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be helpful to the police. But the point is, people have to have confidence that when you give information,
you're correct.
It is held as strict. Confidence.
Yes.
I think that is a major problem because Valentino and Mr. Thompson, we've had some serious issues right in Fort Ventura.
Yes, the Trito's murders up at you. And you know a Trito's young man. Wow.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And the community is very, very shaky. And, you know, sometimes people try to get personal. And I have told people from 50 years experience, you don't get personal with your neighbors. Now, see, being a justice, be, they can tell you all kinds of things, but then you can't talk it to nobody. So I got to go home, pray about it, and ask God to help me forget it. But we need to understand the law. That is a basic, fundamental principle. Statute law, constitutional law. And if we can get our people to understand law, right as opposed to wrong, good as opposed to evil, we can get to move forward. And of course, punishment has to be included because you cannot allow people to be running around loose doing all kinds of foolishness, and we as law-abiding citizens have to suffer. I think I'll stop there because I told you so exactly.
You said a mouthful, and you answer all our questions.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Thompson, you made some great, great points, and you see, he hit all the nails on the head.
We can't
be suffering if we're going to let someone rape a child or kill a child or go in home invasion. You know, we could understand two guys are on the streets and they're gang banging. You know, we could say they could get lifetime, you know, because we know they have a beef. But for those who are intentionally, we got to separate the voice of the voice and say, hey, if you commit any of these crimes and you let the whole citizen of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas know, if you commit these 10 heinous crime, these here will be the result of the death penalty, which will be carried out. You know, I heard Vane Monroe say that, you know, they're looking at it, they're for capital punishment. And he says there's no, he's also saying that walk away from relationship problem, like with a young gentleman. He's saying walk away, you know, most can't walk away because they don't have the education and they don't have the training or the right mindset to walk away from a relationship. So we're going to see a lot of this happen in our country. And like Mr. Thompson said, you know, we can't let them be running around the streets like this. We're going to have to say, what is the waste of the waste? And we let the whole Bahamas know, if any citizen of the country do this crime, this is the waste of the waste. And this can get you the death penalty. And this year, it's life imprisonment or 25 years to life if you do this crime here, and then this and that. But we have to know what is the waste of the waste. What can you face the death penalty in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? And we need to enforce it. Like I say, I'm not an advocate for it, but some of these crimes are inhuman. And no right-thinking human to endanger the life of a kid, you know? Because everyone has a family member who has a kid. So anyone who abuses a child in this country, and that child is abused where they cannot be repaired, or they dies, that is the waste of the waste, and you should get your neck popped. All right? You want to say anything before we go on?
Yeah, I listen to you. You be very in-depth when you're talking about some things, you know? And death is important. Valentino, I'm all about empowerment. And I feel as though, like I tell my young guys, I think if you keep them busy, keep you working, keep you focused. I work my guys, them, they don't work hard. They go to the little guys, tell me they 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. They go out there, pick up some papers, do a little reading, go in the water, swim, but by the time they go home, be tired. One of my avenues, I think, could be able to assist the country in the crime field, get people working.
Yes.
Get these people busy.
Yes, I agree.
And once they're busy enough, they could go back to doing some things.
Yes.
Go back to enjoying date night. Go back to enjoying family time because they're tired. But if nothing that's happening, they find time to go thief, to rob, to steal, and get the other uncarnal things of the world and rape and whatever else, you know? Keep people focused. If you got to get them involved in agriculture, get them involved in masonry, whatever it be. But we, like I say back again, let's love our country.
Yes.
Once we love our country, we could always move forward. So once we have leaders that love our country, then we could focus, and they could focus on training the rest. It all starts from the top, you know.
And it could change.
Once that top and get it together.
And understand the importance.
That's what it is. My grandpa always said, Omar, deal with the top. See, the top got the answer. You go and talk to the boss, man, that's the last say.
Yes.
You see, if I need to go tell me, don't tell me no. But whoever in charge,
that's
at the end of the day. You see the man on the phone, you see the guy in the back of us?
Yes.
You say, listen, I'm taking my last call. You're the boss here. That's the last call.
Yes.
Then you got a call that finished.
Yeah, you're right.
You understand?
You're right.
All right?
So take responsibility.
Yes.
For your community.
And I want to say back again to the young guys doing crime and stuff. Karma is real. All right? Whatever you sow, you can reap.
Ask them two young men who now made a bad decision. Those two are wanted. This one is in Modesty's prison now.
Yep.
And guess what? That bad decision now, he's looking at close to 50 years to life imprisonment. What do you think about it?
On camera.
And on camera. What you think about the other young man? If you think that's being bad, now guess what happened? You're going to end up in prison.
Yep.
And you're going to buck the biggest set of criminals.
Yep.
And you might buck the sissy set of criminals. I'm not discriminating. Mm-hmm. You're going to buck the sissy set of criminals who get 50 years. So you ain't going to be able to see no woman for 50 years. Mm-hmm. But you get someone up there who gets something special for you.
I would like Valentino Walto
to
see if we could get the young men mentality to change. Like,
think.
Yeah, like prison is a home.
Think, young people.
Plenty of them like have this concept like jail ain't nothing. They could breeze through that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, get my place together. I'm coming home.
Yeah,
but you have to get to that point to make changes.
Yes,
Valentino. We always say jail ain't a place you want to be.
Right.
Let it be some hard work happening. Let it be some penalties where you don't want to be there. We got to get back to that point.
Yes.
But karma, remember, karma is real. Whatever you sow, it mightn't come now.
You reap it.
But it will come. It don't come, you will come into your children. So we got to put that together. We have to become mentors for these young men, these young ladies. You know what I mean? We got to be persons who can make some difference here. We have to love our country.
Yes.
So
I want to thank you very much, Omar Thompson. We had a very good conversation. To all the callers, you guys did a fantastic job. Mr. Thompson, you made a good comment. The caller before that made some good comments. Farsans, he talked about. Mr. Thompson talked about the fact, you know, that we can't let persons who commit serious crimes in the country just roam free, you know. And he also talked about the fact that we need to know the laws, what is right and what is wrong. Yes, we need to teach this country and teach our citizens what is right and what is wrong and what is the penalty. And talk about the function real quick.
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying. We usually do it by doing a function for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Maybe get back before that. Maybe
okay.
Come out here. We're doing a small give back. That's be on the 27th. We just give out some food. We're counseling because we always have, you know, people like Carlos Reed and other.
Spidey and crew.
Yeah, they're going to come and counsel and speak to the point of saving out a crime or whatever, give out some food, clothes, etc., books. We're going to do something again for the Christmas.
And where's it situated?
Right on East Street and
crossing Gift, Big One from Barber's Barbershop.
Right crossing, right by the barbershop. Right in the open. It's going to be totally set up some bouncing castles, etc.
Always giving back.
And it's important too. But I found out at the end of the day, Valentino, that you can't speak to someone if they're hungry.
No.
That's why Jesus feed the 5,000.
Yes.
You understand?
So we have the line from him.
And that is how you build a relationship with the community.
Yes.
Those who don't even want to help but come to you for help because they know you have a big heart.
Yes. And after we're gone, let's leave. Let's try to leave.
The world in a better place.
And leave a legacy. Mm-hmm. Now, all the guys, I talk to the younger guy, but all the guys too. You know, you get a certain age, man, listen, leave that player life alone. Find your legacy.
Yes.
You know, and put that in place.
I want to say thank you, Omar Thompson, for doing such a wonderful job, and to all those who listen to Guardian Radio 96.9 and to Inside the City. You have a wonderful Friday night, and I just want to say this. I'm not for the death penalty. I say it again. We crucify innocent man Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, and many innocent person. But in this time and place, the innocent suffer for the guilty. But in this instance, we have to make example of some persons who are making he is a heinous crime against kids, mothers, grandmothers, and especially females. You know, we have to decide what is the voice of the voice. And we have to educate, you know, educate about the law and what's right and what's wrong and bring back that building up the village again. So I'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Carlos, Reed and crew and Spidey. Guys doing a wonderful job. Keep it up.
Good night, Bombers.
Sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. But I doing the best I can. Trying to turn my dollar to 100 grand. I represent the ghetto.